From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, July 18th. I'm Abby Larico. For the first time in 16 years, there's a GOP primary for St. Louis County Council in the 6th District. And the incumbent says he knows why.
The reason I'm being primaried is because I won't do what the Republican machine tells me to do.
We'll preview that race coming up on The Gateway. A new top official for St. Louis Public Schools will be splitting her time between St. Louis and Houston. The district recently hired Phoenix Jackson to be its chief communications officer. It's a position that was advertised as paying at least $165,000 a year. In an Instagram post, Jackson says she will not be selling her family home in Texas, but has a condo in St. Louis and will, quote, float as needed between two lives. A spokesperson for the district told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that Jackson is keeping the home in Houston for her college-aged son. West Nile virus has been detected in St. Louis County. The county's health department said it's recorded the first mosquito to test positive for the virus this year. It was located in the city of Vineta Park, though the county says the mosquito-borne disease can be found throughout the county during the summer months. Most people never feel symptoms if infected, but those symptoms can include fever, digestive issues, headache, and body aches. Health department officials are encouraging people to wear insect repellent and protective clothing and to take steps to remove mosquitoes from their property. The Illinois Republican Party's incoming leader is confronting the internal fighting that led to her predecessor's ouster. Alex Degman reports from the party's national convention.
Kathy Salvey is set to take over as chairwoman when the convention ends. The current chair, Don Tracy, announced his resignation last month amidst party infighting. Salvey acknowledges how publicly those arguments over strategy and the party's future played out, but she says there's work to do and it's time to move on.
Listen, I love this party because sometimes we air our dirty laundry with one another and it gets into the press of these fine people. But we need to say, you know, let's give that person the benefit of a new, fresh day.
Republicans haven't held statewide office in Illinois since Bruce Rauter was governor. They'll need to figure out a candidate for governor in 2 years, but Salvey doesn't know who that might be yet. I'm Alex Degman.
The St. Louis region is right on top of the New Madrid fault line, and scientists say that means a major earthquake could happen any day. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennicke reports, emergency responders from across the U.S. participated in a military training exercise that simulated how the disaster would unfold and how they'd respond.
Moments after the rumbling stops in the St. Louis region, hundreds of first responders enter Busch Stadium. Military, local paramedics, and police officers transport injured people to a parking lot nearby. A National Guard team triages patients outside of a medical tent. Military pilots fly victims to nearby hospitals. Major Kelly Hudson of the Michigan-based National Guard Task Force 46 says that kind of response is essential to save lives.
That's somebody's mother, father, brother, sister that's trapped inside. It could be yours. So there's a lot of empathy there. And that's one of the things we want to train on is, I love that you want to run to the sound of the gunfire, but we've got to do that methodically so that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
If an earthquake hits, local emergency responders would also test the air for chemicals from derailed trains. Texas National Guard Sergeant Conrad Kruger led training on how emergency personnel would help people get into the aid area. He's one of more than 500 local and federal emergency responders who participated in the drill.
Oh, you won't feel fear. We won't. It's going to be our desire to serve, our impulse to serve, and our need to serve.
Another exercise simulated a bridge collapse, preventing people from crossing the Mississippi. Military helicopters deployed a floating rope called a ribbon bridge in St. Charles. Army Captain Liam Hazen's team unloaded pieces of the bridge and secured them. He says despite widespread flooding, civilians and vehicles successfully crossed into Illinois.
Everybody knows weather always disagrees with plans, but these soldiers have shown that they can supply a raft, cross traffic if needed when the time comes.
Hundreds of volunteers and responders participated in the three-day exercise. I'm Lauren Brennicke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ever wanted to bottle up your pet's energy? A new concept by a St. Louis-based pet care company kind of makes it possible. Purina launched its Pet Power Walkway this past weekend at Bar K, a dog park slash bar and restaurant located near the Hill neighborhood. The walkway converts walking into energy. Each step on the platform produces 3 joules of electricity, which can be collected in batteries donated to the APA Adoption Center. Pam Edson brought her Great Dane, Kylie, to the event.
I was just kind of blown away by the concept, and I thought it was just so cool that she just could, like, walk across that little stage and fill up some batteries.
The walkway will be at Bar K through the end of the month and then travel to other St. Louis locations. It's part of Purina's goal to increase its sustainability practices. The company says 95% of the electricity at its factories comes from renewable energy, and it hopes to achieve 100% by 2025. Republican Ernie Trakas had no primary opponent in his first 2 runs for St. Louis County Council. But this year, a well-funded challenger has emerged to take on Trakas for the chance to be the councilman from the 6th District, which covers South St. Louis County. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has this preview of the GOP primary.
Trakas says he knows exactly why he's facing his first intra-party challenge.
I'm not a yes man. The reason I'm being primaried is because I won't do what the Republican machine tells me to do.
Attorney Michael Archer has a different explanation for why he decided to run. Archer says developers find it difficult to work with Trakas.
A lot of their business projects were being thwarted. They'd already gone through planning and zoning, and he wasn't pushing those through. And a lot of those business projects were costing a lot of people a lot of money.
Trakas says he wants to make sure that the right businesses come to the district.
What I'm looking for is positive commercial development, whether it's high-end retail, whether it's restaurants, entertainment venues, that sort of thing. We don't need apartments. We don't need storage facilities.
Both men say they are prepared for the workload that comes with representing the 6th District. It has the largest percentage of unincorporated territory. That means the county council is the most local form of government, and the council person is the point of contact for issues ranging from trash collection to zoning. Democrats will likely retain a majority on the council, regardless of who wins the GOP primary. Trakas is known to vote with the Democrats and County Executive Sam Page on occasion. Archer says he also has no problem crossing party lines.
If it's going to be benefiting the people of South County, we could come to an agreement. And I have no problem working with anyone. If it benefits St. Louis County as a whole, and particularly the 6th District.
The winner of the primary will have Democratic opposition in November. Trakas won in 2020 by 5,000 votes. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find all of our coverage of the August primary, including other council races, at stlpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.